Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Welcome to Hour 2 of Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. So glad you tuned in today. Well, our first hour guest had to reschedule due to illness, so we quickly re-aired the interview that I did with Shanti Feldhahn a while back on the secrets of highly successful and happy marriages. So if you missed that, that was a fabulous interview. Go to our website and catch the podcast, myfaithradio.com. And now this hour, my good buddy Dr. Greg Smalley joins us again. In light of the child abuse allegations leveled against NFL player and Minnesota Viking Adrian Peterson, we've decided to tackle the topic of discipline versus punishment. Greg has some excellent things to talk about in that regard. And plus, he's offered to give away a few copies of his book, The DNA of Parent and Teen Relationships. So let me tell you about my friend, and we'll get this conversation started. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Executive Director of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. He's the author of a gazillion books, including The Wholehearted Marriage and Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage. He and his wife, Erin, live in Colorado with their three beautiful daughters, Taylor, Murphy, Annie, and their son Garrison. You can find his author page at our website at myfaithradio.com. Greg Smalley, welcome back to the program.
Hello, good friend Susie Larson.
You just say hello and I start laughing. I don't know.
Well, I am odd.
You are that
funny. And by the way, we've done a lot of shows. I don't know why you just didn't re-air one of the ones we've done together.
No, because you're fun
don't
live.
Worry,
you're boring
fine,
recorded. You're
whatever.
Fun live. No, I'm just kidding.
Boring recorded. You know, those live ones get recorded.
Exactly.
FYI.
I know that made no sense. I'm trying to think of a way to insult you, and that just.
I know.
Yeah,
it's
sorry
right.
about that.
It's
so,
right.
as
Jesus
you know.
Jesus loves me.
He
still,
does. This so. We both know. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be nice to you, like, for the rest of the hour. How's
cool.
that? Okay.
Yes.
That's going to be good. Okay. So tell me if there's a verse that God's been speaking to you about these days.
You know, in light of what we want to talk about today, it's just sort of the difference between discipline and punishment. I love that Hebrews 12:11 that says, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." And I think for me, it's that word trained that I think is so critical when we think about just discipline with our children. And so I can't wait to get in and sort of unpack these ideas around discipline and training versus punishment.
Boy, you know, you really are in for a great treat today as you hear some of the things Greg has to say. And Greg, you know, you've never been one to shy away from tough topics, which I really appreciate. I'd love for you to talk about why this issue of discipline versus punishment has risen to the surface for you.
I think it's a wonderful opportunity for our country to do some introspection and just think about, you know, what it does mean as a parent to discipline our child versus times where maybe we're doing more punishment. And those words are not interchangeable. They are very, very different. And I think that's important. And so, you know, I hate what's happened to Adrian Peterson from the University of Oklahoma. I'm a Boomer Sooner. So, just a great guy. Yet we've all heard and been aware of just the story of his 4-year-old son as he was administering, you know, spanking, used a switch. So basically the thin part of a tree branch. To punish his child, and the results were just a lot of marks, and it sparked thus this debate. He's been suspended sort of indefinitely from the team, but I think it's a good thing for our country, for as parents, to really to think through how are we doing that? What do we do in those moments where we're frustrated with our kids? I have a good friend, Jackson. Actually, he's been on the show before, works with me here. He heads up kind of our marriage department here at Focus on the Family. He he called me a little bit ago. His 6-year-old son put a Lego up his nose and sniffed it. And it literally has gone into his lung. And so now they have to spend thousands of dollars and, you know, to get this out. And he's literally in surgery here in just a little bit. In those moments that our kids make very poor choices and we're frustrated with them, what's our responsibility then as parents? We all know the verses, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. I think there's way more to it than simply administering, you know, the rod in essence to our kids if we're going to be effective as parents. And so with our young kids on up to with our teenagers, how do we really discipline in a way that helps to train them? That's I think the opportunity that this whole Adrian Peterson story. And so again, the focus, I don't want the focus to be on him. I don't know him. I don't know his family. I don't know what's going on with him. I hate what I've seen. And what I've seen, the pictures and all that, it's like, wow, I can't ever imagine that there's ever a time for that. But at the same time, what does it mean for now me as a dad?
Yeah.
That's, I think, the opportunity that we have.
And that's the better question to ask for ourselves. And I think some maybe do interchange discipline and punishment as if there is a place for punishment to get, and that would net a good result. But you make a very strong distinction between the two. So maybe just start there and make the distinction between these two things.
Yeah, and I want to start off by making sure everybody hears me. I don't have this down as a dad. I'm not a perfect dad. There's definitely times where I'm mad at my kids and reacting to them and probably punishing them. And there are times where I think I'm able to get into a space to where it's really more about discipline. And Susie, I was telling you that even this weekend here, I had to take my son Garrison, who's now 14, to the urgent care to get a physical for, he wants to play basketball. And,
wait, pause.
So, yes.
Urgent care for a physical. Was this a last minute thing? I just have to ask.
No, I saw a sign that said $20 physicals for sports. And I went, hey, why spend a lot of money on them when I can spend a little bit and still get what I need?
So this was a savvy decision. All right.
Exactly.
Keep going.
It was a thrifty, good budgeting.
Trying not to pick on you, but you.
Dave Ramsey would be proud of me. That's all I'm saying. Although I didn't use cash, so he might yell at me. Anyway, so we're there. So Aaron goes, hey, he needs the physical. It'll only take like 10, 15 minutes once you go. Well, 2 hours later, all right. As we sat there, so when we finally got called back, this very nice man brings us back, puts Garrison on the scale, weighs him, see how his height, and then hands him one of those little eye chart things where you put over your eye. And so, okay, now can I qualify some things so you don't think I'm a complete idiot? I had flown in that morning and got home at 1 a.m., so I was on a business trip, wanted to get home for the family. So this is Sunday. So I get home. So I'm very tired. So I take him. And so first of all, the guy goes, now put this over your left eye. So he puts it over his right. And that just, I thought that was funny. And he goes, now read the lowest line that you can. So my son very confidently begins to read the lowest line. And he gets, like, he's going C, D, V, E. None of them are right. So, I mean, he's getting them all wrong. Well, for whatever reason, that made me laugh. And I got tickled. And I start laughing out of control. Of course, my son is glaring at me with his one eye covered with the thing, looking, you know, giving me that look like, I'm going to hit you, Dad, with this thing. And the nurse is, like, embarrassed for me. And I could not stop. I had to literally walk into an empty, darkened exam room, sweeping out of control. They could hear me going, and all because of my poor son. He has bad eyes. And I after my son started speaking to me again, I literally had to apologize to the staff, to him, going, I promise I'm a good dad. I don't know
actually,
what happened.
Actually, help families all around the world.
Seriously. I work at Focus. I head up the parenting department at Focus on the Family. Hey, come check us out.
This is funny.
Gee.
I'm
telling you, it's in those moments, though, that, I mean, there's times where I literally feel like the worst father on earth. And there's definitely been times where I look back and I haven't been proud of just even the way that I've handled when I've needed to discipline. So, you know, I think that for me, Susie, the biggest difference between punishment and discipline, I think discipline is always about love. And it's about training, equipping, teaching. That's our end in mind. I think punishment is more about it's more about inflicting a penalty for some, you know, thing that they did wrong or didn't do or whatever. And so I think it's punishment is more focused on past deeds. Punishment, I think, comes more out of my frustration and reaction. Whereas I think discipline is more on focused on future corrective acts, and it flows out of an open heart. It flows out of love, concern, the decision that I love you enough that I want to teach and train you. And it may not sound like a very big distinction, but I'm telling you that there's a world of difference between punishing more out of reaction as a parent, you know, in disciplining them. And that's what I want to learn how to do better.
Well, first of all, I always appreciate how self-deprecating and transparent you are but I know you and I know your family, and Kevin, I've stayed at your house plenty of times, and you are an amazing
the best behavior.
You're an amazing dad.
Larson's
and your kids
home.
Love you. Except for that
Thank
one
you.
Time when Murphy, I got to say, she had her driver's permit. She was so nervous about getting in an accident, driving off the road, and we get in the back seat, and you're in the front seat, and as soon as she starts driving, you're like, don't do that, and you start teasing her, and I was so funny to me, Greg, because she just rolled her eyes, oh, Dad, and she was able
they
to
They never listen to me really anymore.
It was awesome, but you are an amazing dad, and I appreciate
well,
that.
Thank you.
But this is so important, because when I step back and even look at some of your notes that you sent me, punishment beats down where discipline calls up. And, you know, and we think about punishment as you're going to pay for this thing. That's even different than a consequence saying, you know what, you broke this. So you do need to, there is a consequence, but it's because I believe I want more for you. You know, I'm not going to extract something from you. I want more for you. Those are two such different pathways, aren't they?
They really are. And so when you look at a situation like the Adrian Peterson thing and you see the pictures, and you know, for me, it made me wonder now, was that out of a frustration, a reaction, a more of a punitive place? And if so, again, that's what I think we're trying to realize as parents, that there's if I'm shut down, if I am so frustrated, so angry at my child, and I just, you know, and I'm punishing them, that's the part that we want to learn how to avoid. What do we do then if we find ourselves in that way? Because I really do want to discipline. When you go Google just disciplining a child, you know, in terms of what does the Bible say, and I'm telling you, what's fascinating is that there never do you see the word punishment. You always see that God talks about disciplining, and he uses those words like, you know, in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go or she should go. You know, you see words equipping them, teaching them, you know, that when you discipline, hey, for those who receive it, you know, they will be trained by it. So I think there's, you're so focused when you discipline on helping shape future behavior. That's what I think God desires from us as parents.
So good. Talking to my friend, Dr. Greg Smalley, about the difference between discipline versus punishment. We got a couple copies of his book, The DNA of Parent-Teen Relationships. Chime into the conversation. Maybe you've got a question. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Taking a very short break. We'll be right back.
We believe our God.
If you're single and you're looking for a really godly relationship or a relationship focused on God and dating, how do you make it clear to other people that you're not just interested in a very normal, like, secular relationship?
Okay, that's a question from a listener. We're going to put on the side here for a minute, Greg, and then we'll dig back into it. I'm talking to Dr. Greg Smalley today. In fact, we've got a few copies of his book, The DNA of Parent-Teen Relationships. If you want to chime into the conversation regarding discipline versus punishment, now is the time, 877-933-2484. So, Greg, we do hear that verse, spare the rod, spoil the child, reference sometimes used, sometimes misused. What does it actually mean?
Well, I think for us, then, the key question becomes, where does spanking fit into discipline? Does it? Is it always punishment? Is there a place for it? You know, for me, when you think about the times back when that verse was written, what options were there, you know, for parents? I think the key is not on the method of the discipline. So if we're holding our kids accountable for a choice that they've made, I mean, we, in this day and age, we have many, many very effective ways to discipline. Back then, maybe there wasn't. And so I think the point, though, is never about the method. It's always about using something that's going to effectively help to discipline, whereas you're then training your child. You know, my mom is very interesting. We were having this discussion about the Adrian Peterson situation, and, you know, my mom, who could care less about football, she just noticed it. Maybe she's reading the paper or something, and she's like, now explain this to me. And so as we were talking about just the whole issue of spanking, it was fascinated what she said, because one, I want to say this very clearly, I got spanked all the time when I was a kid. So I, where my brother, my sister, they were really smart, and they understood that certain behaviors would result in a spanking. I never quite got that message. And, as a matter of fact, I inherited the spanking stick that my dad used because it was, you know, mainly me that got them. But she said very interesting. She said, you know, she goes, I think now looking back, she goes, I would have used other methods to discipline you guys. And I think that's what's interesting, is that, you know, in my home, well, one time, get this, all right, so we have Murphy, who's now 17, my junior in college. When she was four, three, somewhere in there, we were on an airplane all by ourselves. So it was me and Murphy were towards the front. At one point, literally, Susie, she stands up, she, on her chair, faces the rest of the plane, kind of yells out as loud as she could. She goes, hi! It, like, scares people. And people are like, hi. And she went, my name's Murphy. And they're going, hi, Murphy. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, here we go. Who knows what she's going to say? And she yells out. She goes, and this is my daddy. And so I raise my hand, hello. And she screams, and he spanks me. What on earth?
Go,
I mean,
Murphy.
Of all the things, go Murphy.
I'm sorry.
So Murphy was our little strong-willed, and so she probably got a few more spankings than our other kids. But I think too is you know, my oldest is 20, so kind of looking back, we really used spanking. We reserved that for very, very willful moments of disobedience.
We did the same, Greg, and I'd have to agree with your mom. You know, I have three sons, and I had a very strong-willed one, and so it was always last resort. And I do remember taking the little wooden spoon, putting it in the vase with the flowers on the table, like, this will be the centerpiece for the summer boys.
And you will notice this.
Yeah, but I mean, it was really last resort. But just knowing, as you say, what we know now, and the equipping that we have, and the information that we have, I mean, it just, it feels different to me. Like I'd probably go a different route.
Really, and I think it begins with us understanding our child's personality, their temperament, and that's why that Proverbs 22:6 verse says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and then even when he is old, he will not depart from it." I think what's so significant about that is that saying, "Train up a child in the way he should go." God's created our kids all different personality, temperament-wise, and our Murphy was so strong-willed that there were times that was the only thing that would really, truly get her attention. Versus Taylor, I mean, just to get down eye level with Taylor and to say, honey, look me very clearly in my eyes right now, to talk firm to her and say, that right there, not okay. That is a poor choice, and that does not need to happen again. I mean, that kind of thing. That's all that she needed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was so compliant. You know, Garrison, same way. You look at the kid sternly, and he melts.
Yeah.
Murphy, you look at her sternly, and she's like, "That's all you got?" You know, really?
Yeah.
That's it? Huh.
I've lost respect
for
you.
This is easy. Yeah. And not to say then we spanked her. No, there were other things that worked very, very well for her. Annie, you know, our youngest, boy, she's such an extrovert, loves to be around people. People just give her life and energy. And so when she's making poor choices, you know, we isolate her. We put her in timeout alone by herself. Oh, I mean, you thought that, you know, she was dying. And so that's where I think it begins with we have to be great students of our kids and understand that we've got to treat them all differently. And one discipline might work well for
this child,
but the other is not going to work at all. Or it's going to, you know, my dad's got a great book called The Key to Your Child's Heart. And one of the things he really talks about is the difference between breaking the will and breaking the spirit. And you want to break the will, you know, kind of when it's that defiant kind of, I'm in charge, I want to do what I want to do, but you don't ever want to break their little heart, their spirit. And that's a big, big difference. And I think that punishment really begins to break that, not just the will, but really breaks the spirit. And when you get a spirit that's closed with a child, that's not at all what we want as parents.
Well, I've told you this so many times before, but as a young mom, listening to Focus on the Family, and your dad was a guest, and he said that one thing, never let a child walk away with a closed spirit.
Yeah.
I stopped. That changed and revolutionized how I parented, and especially my middle one who lived in the corner, you know. And it was so amazing is when he graduated from high school, he said, Mom, Dad, I know I gave you a run for your money, and I know I challenged you a lot, but you never made me feel like a problem child. You always... Mm-hmm. Let me know who was in charge, but you always made me believe that if I stayed humble, teachable, and believed nothing was impossible, that I could accomplish anything. And my jaw dropped because I, you know, in those early years, just wrestling with his will.
For.
Yeah, amen. But I think it is possible. But punishment would be like, you've given me so much trouble, and I'm just going to push back and push you down rather than invite you up and call you up and hold you in that way, you know?
Well, you know, because when we jump into that punishment mode, and again, I think what leads to punishment is when our kids do something that so frustrate us, so make us mad, so hurt us, whatever, that we shut down. And then we're now reacting. And so we're trying to do right then and there with the behavior versus a longer future kind of mindset of how am I training? How am I equipping my child in within this situation? And when we jump into that punishment, I think it leads to such rebelliousness or you're going to see a lot of almost a facade of compliance. You're going to see sneaky behavior, dishonesty, because, you know, I'm going to now try to be sneaky and dishonest to avoid detection. And that's why the punishment part just doesn't work effectively.
Well, we're going to, on the other side, we're going to talk about the ripple effect of why that is, but also how to take the initiative to train our children the way we should go. Because if we don't take that initiative, we end up just living out a series of reactions. And Greg talks about this reactive cycle that happens in marriage, but it happens in parenting too. So lots to talk about on the other side. We'd love to hear from you if you've got a question. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We'll be right back. Tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is With a Promise. So honored to have my good friend Dr. Greg Smalley joining us today. And we get him on about two times a month, and we're talking different relationship issues. Today, we're covering the issue of discipline versus punishment. And, Greg, I know you do a lot of teaching on the reactive cycle within the context of marriage, but I'd imagine this is potentially an issue in our parenting, too. So first, explain the reactive cycle, and then maybe give an example of how that can be played out in the way that we interact with our kids.
Well, one of the things that we did is that we really taught this idea of a reactive cycle. When someone pushes your buttons, then your heart shuts down, then you react. Usually the way that you react then pushes their buttons, their heart shuts down, and then they react, and it kind of creates this cycle. But what we did, my dad and I, who we wrote the book, The DNA of Parents in Teenage Relationships, we taught that. And to show parents that obviously I don't have to tell any parents of a teenager that your teens will push your buttons. Mm-hmm. And just to be aware that as a dad, when my kids make certain choices that frustrate me, hurt me, make me mad, whatever, see, it pushes my buttons. And then I shut down. And I was telling you about my good friend Jackson, whose son right now is in surgery. Well, this morning he was just telling me about that he got up early to fix his... Now, this is a six-year-old boy.
Did he inhale the Lego today?
No, like a week or so ago.
Wow.
Yeah, so they've been doing x-rays and trying to figure out did it actually go into the lung, but it's there. So today's the surgery day, so he wakes up early to fix his son some eggs, and he had to stop eating at a certain time ready for surgery. So Jackson was just really tired. He dumped too much salt onto the eggs. And so the boy didn't want to eat, his son Sam didn't want to eat the eggs. And he said, "That's too salty." And Jackson's tired. He's frustrated. He's anxious about the surgery. And so Jackson's like, "You've got to eat your eggs. You've got to have something to eat." And his son, 6 years old, goes, "Dad, if you would have been paying more attention, I would be able to eat my eggs right now."
Brilliant.
I'm like, this is a six-year-old boy. He's brilliant. Well, it totally pushed Jackson's buttons. That's what he was telling me today at work. And that's what happens. Our kids are going to say things. They're going to do things that push our buttons. And if we punish them in a state of reaction, in other words, if we're still shut down, see, that's, I think, the error that we make is parents. That's when, in Ephesians 6:4 it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. I think how part of how we provoke them to anger is when we are punishing them out of a reaction, which is very different than what we want to do. And and that's why I think one of the best things as parents that we can do when our kids misbehave in a way that really triggers our stuff, pushes our buttons, we can feel the heat rising up within our bodies. I think that's when we put them into a timeout to separate them from us and leave them in their room. And what I do then is go and try to get right before the Lord. And that's not easy. That I don't do that perfectly. But what I'm trying to do is to pray, God, listen, I want to discipline my son or my daughter right now. God, I'm mad at them. I'm hurt. I'm frustrated. Lord, just give me an open heart. God, how can I show love right now in their life? How can I discipline in such a way that will help them, train them? And that's the opportunity. That's why I think first and foremost, you have to gauge where you are as a parent. We need to know them. So we need to know their temperament, their personality, so that we can tailor then our discipline. But before we discipline, we should always walk away, step away for a brief moment just to get right with the Lord and ask God to prepare our hearts.
Because discipline then could turn into punishment if you're doing it in a reactionary way. And I'm thinking, right, as you're talking, Greg, and you and I have talked about this a ton, that just even the nature of the busyness of our culture can cause us to do this in marriage, but we can do this with our kids too, where we're just living in reaction to whatever it is screaming the loudest. And that becomes crisis management, where to be intentional in marriage, which we've talked a lot about, but to also be intentional in our parenting, that takes initiative on our part, doesn't it?
It does. And we're all busy. We've got a lot going on. I have four kids. My oldest is away at college. But it just, life, doing everything we're doing, it can keep me in a place to where I'm shut down, already on edge. And that's what stood out to me this morning about my friend Jackson, that he was so insightful enough to go, man, the bottom line, I was already at a bad place. And then when my son said, well, if you just, you know, cooked them right, I'd be eating them. It's like, you big dummy. And what he was able, he said that he just stood there staring, glaring at his son, going, I want to whatever. And the beauty of the fact that his wife then walked up and he said, it was almost like tag team, like, honey, okay, deal with your son. I'm tagging out. I got to get away for a moment. I think that it was such a great thing for him to do. And it allowed him to get some perspective, allowed him to get right with the Lord, get open. And then he was able to come back and get on his knees in front of his son and just say, you know, I love you. Let's talk about what you said to Dad. And he was really able then to turn that into a moment of discipline to where his son, you know, eventually responded, and it was so cute. So this 6-year-old, they all are great at manipulating us. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
But his son goes, Daddy, you know what? He goes, I'm so sorry for saying that. I just love days where I can hang out with you.
Brilliant.
I'm like, brilliant. You are
brilliant.
Good. You will be you are very smart.
A lawyer someday.
Exactly. Do whatever. But that's what we're trying to do is I think there's so much of what goes on as a parent that I need to be aware of when I am shut down, when I am in no position then to discipline my child. And if we can do that, I think that's how we can be responsible as parents.
Absolutely. So just the big thing I hear you saying is when you feel that you've got so much angst and energy behind your frustration with your child, which we all get pushed to that point, you know, just that's the
great
nature.
At pushing our buttons.
Yes, absolutely. Then we need to back up. We're the adult. We need to back up, get with the Lord, get some wisdom. So whatever that timeout takes, take it. And I just love that my kids are grown now, but that every time I just whispered that one word prayer, wisdom, Lord, wisdom,
yeah,
he provides it. And it's so, so important that we seek his face and get the wisdom we need. You know, you and I have also done a whole show on parents who want to be their kids' best friends. So, you know, we look at this punitive thing where some people are parents are leveling out punishment as if they're going to beat submission, which they can do and get what they want at the moment. To devastating consequences. You know what I'm saying? You can get a young kid to do whatever you want, but the ripple effect is so painful. But on the flip side, parents that disengage because they want to be their kid's best friend. And we'll just say a word about that because there is a breakdown there. You might be trying to keep the peace, but you're not creating peace in the soul of your child.
Yeah, our kids don't need friends from us.
Right.
That's not our role. They need a mom. They need a dad. They need parents who are willing to teach them responsibility, to teach them accountability, who are willing enough to suspend harmony. I tell you what, I adore my Murphy, my 17-year-old. Just her passion, her spunk. I mean, there is no boy that's ever going to come along and talk her into doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's just got that independence like her mom and that strength, and I love every bit of that. And that can get very out of balance at times and turn into a pretty big nightmare. And my daughter needs me to be strong for her. My daughter needs me to suspend harmony at times when she's choosing to make choices that aren't good, and just the way she's talking to me or just being disrespectful or not, you know, following through with a job that she's supposed to be doing. And I'm telling you, there are plenty of times that I see Murphy misbehaving or whatever she's doing. I mean, she's just yelled at her brother that in my mind I go, oh, I was having such a good evening. Okay, I know if I challenge this, now I'm in for an hour debate. I'm in for, you know, whatever. And you know what? Murphy needs me to step up in those moments and be her dad. In the same way that when we punish and we act in that authoritative way to where we come down hard on our kids, in the same, on the other end of the continuum, Susie, as you were talking about, sort of that permissive parent who wants to be a friend and afraid to hold kids accountable and responsible and whatever, that it all creates such an atmosphere of unsafe for kids.
Mm-hmm.
They feel very insecure. through that. Our kids need stability. They need discipline. They need rules. It teaches them. It creates boundaries. There's great studies that show kids who are playing in this big, open, wide-open field will congregate together and sort of create a little safe little boundaries for themselves. Versus when there's clearly defined fence of a playground and clearly defined areas where they can play, they explore the entire thing. Because those boundaries are so important for kids to feel safe. Our kids need the rules. They need to participate in creating them and being a part of family meetings to decide when you break a rule, how will we discipline and how we hold you accountable. But our kids need that from us. And if we're not willing to do that, they will grow up so insecure that it'll have a ripple effect that'll last well into their adult lives. And that's not our job.
So important. And so if we get this get through the moment mentality, there will be consequences. So if the get through the moment is I'm going to react in anger and there's no consequence to that, or I'm going to be this permissive friend-like person to my child.
Yeah, I want to be your buddy.
Yeah. And I just want to say, to think long. As I was saying, when your kids are little, you can get them to do almost anything because you're bigger than them. But it's like I've noticed just in working with youth over the years and that you lose equity every time you misuse your power by saying, because I said so, or get in the car. You see big, you know, parents getting kids to hop fast. And it's like, but every time you do that, having worked with lots and lots of teens, you withdraw equity. And so when it is time for your word to count, it will not count as much. And so I feel like showing up each day and doing your best. And as you say all the time, Greg, going back and apologizing when you blow it, you're making deposits in this account saying, I am so for you. I'm not doing this perfect, but I am for you. So when it is time to make withdrawals, so to speak, to say, no, this is where, no, you're not, I'm standing on this hill and you can't get around me on this one because I care so much about you. It'll carry so much more weight, won't it?
It really will. I think one of the most interesting quotes that I've ever seen was from from Finland, the education minister, who said that there is no word for accountability in Finnish. I thought that was so interesting. This person goes on to say that accountability is something that is left when responsibility has been subtracted. And so I sat there and went, huh? What does that mean? And this author went on to say that our goal really is that our child assumes responsibilities for her actions, including making amends and avoiding a repeat, whether the authority figure is present or not. And so this person went on to say that it isn't about holding our kids accountable. It's what we want is for a child to step into responsibility, to hold herself accountable. And once someone takes responsibility, see, we don't have to hold her accountable. And I thought that was an incredible distinction between the two.
Oh, so good. So when we come back for our last segment, Greg, I think that's a great segue to talk about forgiveness and grace, because it's not just a cheap grace where we sort of just bypass it quickly, but like you were saying, walking through the process of ownership, of understanding, of issuing forgiveness, of pushing the sin, so to speak, out of the camp and closing ranks so you're even tighter after you've had a conflict. And as you say, Greg, conflict is a doorway to intimacy in marriage, and it sure can be in family. So let's tackle that when we come back. This is your last chance to chime in if you've got a question for Greg today. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. More with Dr. Greg Smalley in just a moment. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I'm talking to my friend, Dr. Greg Smalley. We're having a great conversation, making the distinction between discipline and punishment. And Greg, I think you know the story of my oldest son, who was always our compliant one, but he took my truck out, my Chevy Blazer, on a winter night And some friends of his tempted him to do donuts in the school parking lot where there was a fresh coat of snow. And he didn't want to, but they said, dude, don't be a girl. And that's all he needed to hear.
That's it.
Yeah, I love it. And he did some donuts, and he did $3,000 worth of damage to my car. And my hubby was on a work trip, and so I had to do Lamaze breathing to keep my cool. I'm like, I need a focal point. And
breathe.
I'm telling you, I was so angry. And then Luke breaks down and cries, and he's like in junior high at this time. And I send Jake down to his room. I go up to Luke's room. I'm like, honey, what are you crying about? And he's sobbing, going, don't be too hard on Jake. He said,
don't kill him.
Yeah, he said, he's my favorite and he's my hero. And he goes, besides, this is more like something I would do, don't you think? But, you know, the process we walked through, and Kev got home and we had a family meeting. And I loved what Kev said to Jake in front of the brothers. He said, I still trust you. He says, you have been such an honorable son and you've made so many deposits in that account. You've made a significant withdrawal here, but I want you to know I still trust you. Mm. But we do have some restitution here. And we gave his brothers a chance to ask him questions, and they basically came in the form of, dude, what were you thinking? But truly, though, it was really one of those unbelievable processes of learning, okay, we're going to own this. You're going to answer questions, and then we're going to have you, you're going to pay back the damage you did. But we're going to love you every step of the way. And we all look back at that going, that was really a pivotal time as a family. But it took effort and energy and emotion, but it was worth it. I just would love for you to just talk about the process of grace and forgiveness and how necessary it is.
It's such an important part of being a parent because we're going to make so many mistakes. Mm-hmm. Like when, you know, as I talked about earlier, when I laughed at my son as he was trying to read through the eye chart, sheesh. I told him, I said, you know, son, I don't know what happened. I'm just so tired. I got in so late. And, you know, and that's believable. That's true. But I thought, you know what? No, son, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? And I said, as a matter of fact, when the guy came back in, I said, hey, I want to apologize to you in front of my son because the way I again, no excuse, but I didn't like how I was being a dad in that moment. And the guy was like, hey, no problem. And I do think that we will always have an opportunity to come back around when we make those mistakes. And that's what's so beautiful about our kids. They're so resilient.
Yeah.
You know, if we make a commitment going, you know, I'm going to blow it. And my kids know that I'm such a human. And
that you're for them. So that's the big thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they know that we're a team and I'm on their side. You're not my enemy. You're not my adversary. You know, I love you. You're my son. You're my daughter. And let's get this right. And that's why I think when we, in those moments where we're shut down and in reactive mode, maybe our button has been pushed and we begin to punish, again, that's inflicting a penalty for an offense. Discipline is always about future. How am I training? What are they learning from this? How am I equipping them in some way as you know, as a child to become an adult? And, you know, punishment, it's going to create that fear. So, again, when you see those pictures of what Adrian Peterson did, again, I don't know what all went on, but all that I can imagine is just the fear that child feels. And that child probably is going to be compliant. I don't want my kids to be compliant. I want my kids to obey, and I want my kids to be responsible. And I think that they're able, we train them how to be obedient and responsible when we really discipline. I think it always is going to begin as a parent of going, I've got to get my heart open and right with the Lord first before I do anything. And Susie, like you were saying, that just to whisper that, you know, Lord, give me wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. You know, Lord, I want to love. And how can I show love to my child right now and teach them responsibility? And that's why I love that finish quote, that there's no word for accountability and finish. Because it's about teaching responsibility.
Yeah.
When a child becomes responsible, then they hold themselves accountable.
Love that.
And I just thought that was an interesting, I hadn't really thought about it in that way. But that's when we discipline our kids because we love them and we train them up in a way according to who they are. So, again, we got to keep learning. One discipline is not going to fit all sizes. And but you know, it, so don't hear me as saying that you know we're not disciplining our kids. In other words, we're not, you know, using time out or taking away privilege or all that. We absolutely do that, but that's been decided upon long ago. We sit down with our kids. They know when these things happen. Here's how we will, you know, hold you and teach you to be responsible. And so we do those things. We reserve spanking for the very, very extreme end of rebelliousness or disrespect. That's a very, very, once in a while thing that happens. I do not think at all that should be a parent's go-to.
Right.
I'd argue with any parent that sounds to me more punishment.
Well, you think about when your goal is forcing compliance, you're setting them up to go absolutely crazy once they're out from under your roof. So the goal isn't to get through the moment and to make them do what you want them to do, but you train them and teach them to be responsible. You sow seeds of love. You teach them why. As you say, you have family meetings. I mean, when we would have family meetings when we go into the summertime, because just there was a whole new dynamic at summertime, we had a big whiteboard and we're like, okay, what should some of the summer rules be? What should the consequences be? Sometimes their suggestions were harsher than what mine would be, you know, for themselves. And I remember when my youngest son, Jordan, was a senior, And he came to me and he said, well, my friend's mom's calling in for senior skip day, calling in and saying that she's sick and wondering if you would do that for me. And he's just like stumbling over his words. And I'm like, what do you think? And he goes, no. And I go, why? And he goes, because we're responsible. I didn't think he would say that, but I thought,
yeah.
And he told me later after he graduated, he knew what I would say, and he was so glad that he could come to me and have me say it, you know. But I think there's something to that. As we sow into our kids, the values then slowly become their own, and that's what you want, isn't it?
It really is. How what we model, how we treat them, is it loving, respectful, honoring, versus just the reactive punishment? You know, I still remember a very memorable story with my dad. I mean, I was young. He was on the phone talking to someone and kept telling me to shh because I was being real loud. And I tripped on something and fell against kind of the wall and just really hit my ear to where it kind of split my ear open. And it was bleeding. And my dad, you know, said to this person, I'm so sorry, I've got to call you back. And so he was embarrassed. He was humiliated here. I'm sure he was negotiating a book deal to write a parenting book or something. And this guy's here and, you know, one of his kids just keep being real loud. And now he's yelling, screaming, because here I'm crying out in pain. So he comes over, grabs my arm, drags me into my bedroom and spanks me. And then he leaves and shuts the door. And so, you know, I don't even remember what I was feeling at that moment, but I'll never forget. He comes back in and now he'd had a moment to cool off and he said, okay, so what was going on? I told you not to yell. You started screaming. Did you not hear me? You weren't listening. So I showed him my ear, this bleeding, and told him I fell, and he felt so horrible. That I never forget. He hands me the spanking stick and goes, here, I deserve this. And so why don't you spank me? And so he said, now I was probably six or whatever. He says, what I did is I handed him back the stick and kind of patted him and said, Daddy, it's okay. We all make mistakes.
Aww.
But he got down on his knee though, and big tears in his eyes and really apologized and said, you know, Daddy had no right to do that. You were way more valuable than that. I should have given you an opportunity to help me better explain. He didn't say these words, but hey, I reacted and that was wrong. And he owned that, and
wow,
he sought forgiveness, and that's what I remember. Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, if you look at my ear, it looks kind of horribly disfigured, but, you know, hey, we all have something we don't like.
It takes away from your nose. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
I needed something to take away from my nose.
I've never
even I don't remember any of that.
Yeah, bless
your
heart.
What I remember is my dad apologizing to me and giving me the spanking stick to spank him. And that's the opportunity. We're going to blow it. We're going to punish. We're going to react. But we can always come back and make it right. And that's the beauty of being a mom and a dad.
Oh, and it's such a honorable endeavor to parent our kids and train them up, you know. And, Greg, this has been so great. We just have a moment left. Wondering if you pray for that parent listening today who's maybe weary but wants to do better?
Lord, just give us the strength, the wisdom in those moments where we're frustrated, mad, upset, our buttons have been triggered, we're shut down. God, just give us the wisdom in those moments to recognize that we're not at the right spot to love as you've commanded us to do. Lord, teach us how to step away and get right with you so that we can discipline our kids. Lord, give us the courage to discipline, to help them learn to be responsible. God, we thank you for that you are on our side. Mm. You will give us what we need to be able to do that. Mm. So God, thank you so much. We love you and ask these things in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Greg, I can't thank you and Aaron enough for all that you do for the family. God bless you both.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, again. We love you lots. And we'll have you back in, I think, a week or two. So.
Sounds good.
All righty. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's show on our website at myfaithradio.com. It's a mobile-friendly website. You can pull it up on your phone, too. I'll leave you with this thought. You hear it from me every day. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He is the one who will keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.